You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, making the world a better place, one show at a time. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, making this world a better place one show at a time. At least we're trying. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, making
the hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
That's enough. All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio, broadcasting live out of Chicago. Yeah, we're live, folks. This is not a podcast. This is not a recording. It's live. Anytime you tune in at 6 o'clock, it's live. But after 6, after the show has been over, then it's podcast. I think probably after 2 hours. Yeah, after 2 hours, it's downloaded and podcasted, and you can listen to the show anytime you want. That's what's great about this. You just listen to the show anytime you want to. You doesn't have to mess up your day or screw up whatever your schedule or anything. You just listen when you have time to listen. There's no pressure. There's no pressure to listen to my show, you know, because there's so many other shows out there. Especially on Block Talk Radio, internet radio. I mean, you've got thousands and thousands and thousands of internet shows. I look at all these people as not as competition or rivals. I look at them as friends, because I do think that even broadcast radio, over-the-air radio, I look at all these radio hosts, talk show hosts, whether they're all news stations or music radio stations, I listen to them all. And I think we're all brothers and sisters in the talk show industry, actually, whether you broadcast radio or whether you internet radio, because as I've said many times, folks, I'm footing the bill for this show. This thing I'm doing is not free. Not for me. It may be for you when you call in or when you are a guest on the show, but for me, it's out of the pocket cash. Yeah. But however, the show for me is not a hobby. It's all about making a living doing this. And just as writing is not a hobby, publishing and writing and creating, it's not a hobby. All of this is just a way of making a great living without having to go out and work for someone else. But sometimes we have to work for someone else, because sometimes, you know, it just happens that way. I know a lot of writers. I mean, I know a hell of a lot of writers who only write part-time because they have a day job. And I've always said that it's nothing wrong with having a part-time job and being a writer. I think the problem comes in is when, if you are a full-time worker and you calling yourself a writer, I think that's where problems may come in. You may not have the time to write if you're a full-time worker. You may have all kinds of things on your mind which cause you to not go to that computer and crank it up and be creative, you know. But some writers are just have to do what they have to do. They have to work. Then you've got writers who are at home writing, but there's someone else there or around who are supporting them. You know, a lot of writers and a lot of the published writers, especially the well-known ones, they didn't have full-time jobs. They had a spouse at home or something to that effect, a spouse or a cousin or a brother or something that was supporting them in their writing career. While that writer wrote every day and constantly, someone else in that house was paying the bills, buying the food, and supporting that writer. That happens. And I think each and every writer needs support, whether you're working part-time or you're at home full-time, working on your craft. You need support. You need that support because that support helps you to keep going, help you to keep doing what you love. And there are so many writers I've been hearing about that there are so many writers who do not have support. There was a woman who said that her boyfriend or something or her husband did not support her in her writing, felt time or there's no money in it. You know, so in my advice, and she was asking the advice of others, and we were all saying, get rid of him. You don't need people around you like that. You don't need people around you to bring you down when you're feeling creative at something you love, because you got those people out there that's going to bring you down. You're seeking their support, but all of a sudden they just spit in your face, you know? So you just got to get rid of those negative people, you know, because negative people, they like drama, like oxygen. You know, once you get rid of them, I mean, hey, it's a great breath of fresh air. You don't need people around you that's going to put you down, that's going to belittle you, that's going to tell you that what you're doing is not important. You can't do that. You can't make it, you know, and all of this. And once you do make it, they're the first ones to call you and ask you for a loan. Or they're the first one to ask you for money, period. When they didn't believe in you in the first place, when they did not support you. But the minute you are successful without their help, without their support, without their input, here they come gathering around you and wanting money. And you say to yourself, no, 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 not anymore, not again. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thanks, folks, for being here. I totally, totally appreciate it. I really do. And it's a great day in Chicago. I'm here in my studio. I got this great big old window in front of me. And it's a kind of a gray day, but it's not a total washout. There's been a little sprinkling of rain here, and I hope it's great and wonderful where you are. And like I say in all shows, if you're in a city or area or a state where there's great weather, get out and enjoy the weather. Get out and do something. You don't need, like I was telling my guest yesterday, you don't need a gym membership. You don't. I mean, for exercise, unless you want to put on body mass, I mean, muscles and things like that, or a washboard stomach or something. But basically, all you need is 15 to 30 minutes to maybe an hour a day exercising. You know, it could be a walk. You don't have to jog. You can just walk for that long, and you really feel rejuvenated. Exercise clears your thinking. It makes you think more. I mean, exercise is godsend. You know, and you don't have to be strenuous. You don't have to go to anybody's gym. You don't have to have a $200 a month membership at someone's gym. You don't have to have. You know, but they suck you into doing it unless you want to be there. It's up to you. I'm not putting down gyms or exercise gyms or anything like that. I'm just saying there's other options to that will not cost you anything. Okay? So if you're having nice weather, get out and enjoy it. And, you know, because the weekend is coming up. And also, oh, yeah, Father's Day is coming. Wow, that's great. And I want to wish all those fathers out there, because I won't be back on the after the day. This is Thursday. After today, I won't be back on the air until Monday. And we have a whole week of a slew of guests on Monday. And so that'll be the Monday after Sunday, which is Father's Day for 2016. Okay. And Father's Day, I mean, it just seemed like it seems like Father's Day just left us, but it's already upon us. And I want to say once again, just like I, you know, mentioned Mother's Day, I want to say happy Father's Day out there to all fathers who are there with their children. I'm not talking about fathers who have abandoned their children, because there's too many of those out there. I'm talking about fathers who are there with their children, nurturing, teaching, and educating their children. Happy Father's Day to all of those great fathers out there. And they know who they are. The absent fathers, the fathers that do not give a damn, they know who they are. All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me right here, because every show, if you miss one of my shows, folks, you miss a lot. And if you miss a show, just go back and just podcast, download, and listen, or just pull up a show and click on it on your smartphone or computer, laptop, or whatever, tablet, and just listen. You know, it costs you nothing to listen. And, you know, that's what it's all about. It costs you nothing. Just go to the website, www.blogtalkradio.com/George Wilder Jr. It'll pop up. Everything will pop up. You just click on something, and all of a sudden, my show, you can listen to my show and enjoy it. When you listen to my show, make sure you enjoy this. There's nothing on my show for you to feel down and depressed or out of it. This show is not about that. This show is about making the world a better place. This is the talk of our times. That's what it is. It's a show about making the world a better place. If you are willing to make the world a better place, tell us how you would do that, and tell us what we all would have to do to try to make the world a better place. And I want to say this, families are opening their hearts and homes after the Orlando attack. Kindness of strangers. I mean, they are opening their people in after the gay attack on this gay bar. Families everywhere are opening their hearts and homes to the families and some of the victims who survived. So all around the world, I mean, it's just pouring out of people are opening their hearts to a lot of these folks. But keep in mind, gay people are still, they still have targets on their backs, because the hate is still here and it will linger. I believe this Sunday, Father's Day, in the city of Chicago, there will be a pride parade. That's a parade where, I guess, nothing but gay people parade on down the street, you know, feeling good about themselves and what they're due and all this kind of thing. But it's a parade. I believe it's a parade that happens in every state at least once a year. And I do know that the Chicago Pride Parade will be saturated with police officers. Police officers are going to be everywhere. But you know what? It's a damn shame that the police officers aren't everywhere in some of these African-American crime-ridden neighborhoods like the south and west sides of the city. If they can do that for the Pride Parade, why not do that for some of these high crime areas in the Chicago area located on the south and west sides of the city? Saturate those areas, not just a gay parade, but because crime is spiking. I believe there's 14 people that have been killed so far in the last few days. And we have a new superintendent in Chicago. Apparently nothing is being done. I mean, his tenure is being uprooted because he can't seem to bring down the crime. Every time crime strikes, spikes, you know, we get a new superintendent because we feel that the next superintendent is going to have better plans, a better way of fighting crime than the last superintendent, but it doesn't happen. These people just can't seem to get a handle on deterring and preventing these needless murders. Sometimes these murders are of little children, you know, and this is a shame. And sometimes these murders are of prominent high school athletes. And all the superintendent can get on TV and say, hey, well, the crime is down. We're doing the best we can. We're arresting people. We're taking in the drug dealers. We're taking the prostitution. We're taking the prostitution, or I should say prostitutes, off the streets. We're doing everything we can to lower crime. No, you're not. They, you know, these people are thinking more about the Pride Parade on Saturday, or it's on Saturday or Sunday, the Pride Parade, then they are thinking about the crime in these crime-ridden neighborhoods, north and south sides of the city. Not to say that crime doesn't happen on the north and east sides of the city. It does, but it's more prevalent on those of the city, which I'm saying is the east and west sides of the city. However, crime happens anywhere to anybody at any time, so we don't want to dismiss saying that crime doesn't happen on the north side. It's just not as prevalent as it is on the south and west sides of the city. But we would like for the police officers to do the same as they're doing for the Pride Parade, because these thugs are out here. And when somebody shoots somebody, that's the same thing. That's the same thing. That's hate. I mean, when somebody takes a gun and guns somebody down for standing on the corner for sitting on their porch or their stump or whatever you want to call it, that's hate. When somebody walks up and knocks you in the back of the head and takes your phone, that's hate. The police have to step up on that. You know, I understand the Pride Parade. I realize they don't want terrorism or violence going on in this parade that's going to take place this weekend. But still in all, there's going to be a high murder count on the south and west sides of the city because the weather is getting warm. It's getting nice. It's becoming hot and stuffy and muggy. And when that happens, the killers, the murders, the thugs come out and start shooting their asses off at anybody. They don't care. Get some people on the south sides of the street, on the south side and west sides of the city, and cut down or eliminate some of this violence. A lot of cities, and I don't understand why Chicago's murder rate is so high. I mean, New York is a bigger city than Chicago, and they have lower crime. Los Angeles, that's a large city, and it has lower crime. Chicago is the third largest city, and it has more crime than those two cities combined. It doesn't make sense. If anything, we should have the lowest crime rate, and New York should be the highest, next to be Los Angeles, and maybe following is Chicago or Houston or whatever. But Chicago has the highest murder rate, crime rate there is. And I haven't even said anything yet today about the politics, you know, about the politics. So they should get on that. I mean, if they're talking about, and I also blame the federal government. I don't think Obama and his team is doing a lot to curb violence in the city of Chicago. I understand that they're talking about gun control and all of this kind of thing. But Obama's the president, so I think he should get on trying to lower the crime rate in the city of Chicago, a place he calls home. All right, folks, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me right here. Follow me all over the place, and thanks for joining me. Thanks for joining me every time you join me, because I couldn't do this without you. I really couldn't, and I want to thank everybody out there that's been giving me a high five on the show and a high five on some of my writings that you can find on Amazon.com. Just put my name up in the space bar there, text bar, George Wilder Jr., and you can find that stuff. Some of it's dirt cheap. And then some of it you can read for free. So if you have Kindle Unlimited, you can probably read most of it for free, if not all of it. So, and if you can do that, you know, read it for free and enjoy it. All right. Okay. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. We're going to take a musical break. Oh, yeah, they've been talking about – I've been getting What have I been getting? I've been getting responses saying that I should add commercials to my radio broadcast. This is a commercialist radio show, except for what I advertise myself on here and what I let guests say on the show. But basically, it's commercialist. And they're saying, well, George, you want to make more money? I mean, add more commercials to your show. You know, I've listened to a lot of radio show, talk show hosts, and they have mountains of commercials on their show. I really do not know if I want commercials on the show, because that will take away too much of my time and take away too much of the time from the guest. But I understand the revenue value of it, the money part of it, the financial part of it. I do. And so it's something to think about, folks. It really is. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We will be right back. We're going to take a musical break right here. Stay with me. Missed it. Thank you. Thank you for sticking with me. Thanks for staying with me. And thanks for listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I've said this a million times before. You miss a show here, you will miss a lot. And I want to say, folks, my guest for today, she called and said that she wanted to reschedule. So she's not going to be on today. So, you know, she can probably, more likely, I may be able to schedule her for July, because I'm all filled up for June. So we will talk about that, because she did email me saying that that's the thing that I like. I like for, if a guest is going to cancel, let me know a day before the show starts. You know, that's great, but I've had guests come on the show. I've had guests cancel right at the moment that they're supposed to be on the show. I guess those things happen when you have a talk show host and you have people on your show. Everybody's not going to be able to make it, because a lot of these folks, a lot of my guests are really, really busy people with their own careers, their own lives, their parents. So, you know, things happen, because if you try to book them a month in advance, you know, that it's possibility things will become haywire. They, you know, and you just have to understand, and I do understand. So we're going to book her hopefully, if she still wants to be on the show, reschedule her for July next month. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. As you know, I am a resident of Illinois. I am a I live in Chicago. As you know, you would know these things if you've been listening to the show for over 6 or 7 months or longer, that I reside in Chicago. And you know that I have been bitching about the budget, the stalemate. These people just will not do the right thing for the citizens of Illinois. And they seem like as if they don't care. Right now, we have no budget. We're going into the second year without a budget. That's unprecedented for the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois. We have asshole politicians. There's no doubt about that. All right. The Illinois treasurer urges legislatures to pass a budget. Hell, the entire world is begging Illinois to pass a budget. Politicians, lawyers, doctors, school children, the disabled, begging these people to pass a budget. But as I was thinking before I came on the show today, is that, you know, these people aren't, most of the people who are, the people who are in charge of passing a budget, that means passing a budget means paying their bills. You have bills, I have bills. If we don't pay our bills, we're going to be evicted, thrown out. You know, credit is going to be shot to hell. It's the same thing with the state. I mean, the state's credit and Chicago's credit rating has been downloaded, has been downgraded to junk status. That's a shame. And that's because there is no budget and these people cannot get along. And when there's no budget, everybody in the state of Illinois is affected. We have people leaving the state of Illinois. We have people leaving the city of Chicago because of politics. The public schools may not open in fall. Once summer vacation is over, they may not open. And we have teachers and principals quitting, walking out, going to other places. You know what? I can't blame them. Why would you want to stay in a position where you may not have a job in the coming months? You want to get out as soon as you can to try to find yourself employment, because you have your own bills to pay. You have your own family. I don't blame them. I'd quit too. If I worked in the city of Chicago in the public schools and this shit was going down all the time, I would quit too. I can't blame them. And it's the only people you can blame for this is Governor Rauner and the state legislature. I blame them too, but I put the brunt of the blame on Rauner, as you probably know if you've been listening to the show. But however, I put them all in the same bowl. One of the things I was going to say, and I didn't say it, but I'm going to say it now. This doesn't seem to affect Bruce Rauner, not having a budget, being an asshole. This doesn't seem to affect him. John Cullerton, the leader in the Senate in Illinois, Michael Madigan, the leader in the House of Representatives in Illinois. All of these people, these are the players here, folks. These are the players. They are the ones to the reason why we don't have a budget. These people. These are the reasons why we don't have. But you know what? They're not too concerned because right now they're not even voting on anything. They're not even there in the General Assembly to even pass a vote. There's nobody there. It's probably empty. Security guards walking around maybe. But they are supposed to be there to vote on a budget. They're not there. And this is all they're due. This is all they're good for, supposed to be for. Anyway, for the people of Chicago, the people of their districts, is to vote. Most of them are part-timers. A majority of them we never heard of. But the key players in this is Bruce Rauner, John Cullerton, and Michael Madigan. They are the key players to why Illinois does not have a budget, and it's going on 2 years by the end of this month. And my thinking is, and I'm pretty sure some other people think the same way, is that this is not affecting those three. This is not affecting them at all. They are causing this horrific wrath on the rest of us, and they're not feeling it at all. You know why? Because they're rich. Bruce Rauner is rich. John Cullerton is rich. Michael Madigan, he's rich. The rest of us who are feeling this, we're not. And my thinking also is, if these guys were not rich and they were surviving from check to check, from check to check to check, like some of us are, that they would have a budget. The fact is that they don't, this isn't, we're hurting, but they're not hurting. And they are the ones who are caught simply because they have it and we don't. That's all it is. Most Republicans are rich and they'll say, well, I got mine. You better get yours. If you don't get yours, you're going to suffer. I'm not going to give you anything, even though I know you need it, but you're not going to get it. You better go out and earn it. So that's my thinking, is that if they were in the same boat as some of us are right now, you know, working every day, paying our bills, paying our taxes, doing the right thing, staying out of trouble, they would have a budget. They don't need the money. I mean, if your check, if you're working for the state of Illinois and your paycheck stops, you know, there goes your rent money, there goes your food money, it stops. But if one of these lawmakers that I just mentioned, if their paycheck stops, it will not bother them because they have tons of money. And I just can't understand why they would want to hurt other people because of what they haven't got. These guys, especially Bruce Rauner, they're after the middle class. Rauner has said and stated and has been written many times that the middle class make too much money, especially if you're working for the state of Illinois. Rauner does not mention raising the minimum wage one iota. Other states have raised the minimum wage, but not Bruce Rauner. He thinks it, the minimum wage in Illinois is $8.25. Bruce Rauner, the governor of Bruce Rauner, thinks that's too much. it's very comical. He thinks that's too damn much. You know, $8.25 an hour. I mean, you could be making 10 to 12 bucks an hour in the city of Chicago. That's not enough for you to get a decent apartment, you know, because the rents in the majority of the apartments in Illinois, if they're decent, they are out of the reach of a lot of people making $10 to $12 an hour. And some people are talking about 15 bucks an hour. I think 15 bucks an hour is a poverty wage, especially if you're trying to live a decent life. I mean, you got rents. What rents are? What $1,500 a month, $2,000 a month, over $2,000 a month in some places. In some places, rent is $3,000 a month. I mean, if rent's about $1,500 a month, that's too much. I mean, especially if you just seeking an apartment and this apartment is $1,500 a month, you got to come up with a security deposit or you got to come up with two security deposits. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. And plus property taxes are being raised every year. So that means that every year or every 6 months, your rent's going to increase. There's no cap on rents. Rents could go as high as they want to go. And I think that's a problem. Rents should not be able to be increased anytime the landlord wants to increase rents. It's a burden on folks who are living in those apartments, in those homes, because a lot of times people are written out. You think a person owns a home, but actually they're just renting it. And that's a lot of money. To rent. So Illinois basically is an expensive place to live, especially Chicago. It is, you're going to be paying through your nose. I mean, some people are driving around in brand new cars, but yet they're eating bologna at home because they have to pay for that car. That brand, what is it, $400, $500, $600 a month for a brand new automobile? And people are eating tuna fish and bologna just so they can ride around looking good in a car. It's expensive. It's totally expensive. And I don't know how people live. I don't know how we do it, actually. Anybody do it, especially if you're not rich and if you're working and you have an income. And that's what Bruce Rauner is out about. He's after the middle class, saying that some of these people are making too much money, and he makes $25,000 an hour probably investing. They just have no sympathy. And my sympathy lies with the students, with the public schools and the colleges and the universities that are being uprooted, because these guys are pissed off at each other and letting and uprooting these schools. These universities and these colleges are strapped for cash. A lot of the teachers are quitting. Like I said, a lot of the professors are quitting. A lot of the students they don't know if they're going to graduate on time. They don't know if these colleges are going to close their doors. And once again, our lawmakers are just oblivious to this. Bruce Rauner pretends like he's not oblivious to it, but he rejects or vetoes every spending bill there is to take these schools, colleges, universities, and public schools out of the red. He rejects it, vetoes every bill. And then after he vetoes a spending bill that could take us out of this mess, he goes and blames the Democratic legislature for this, which I think is disingenuous. He twists his way all around the state and blasts the Illinois legislature, Mike Madigan and John Culloden, and the public schools, when it's Rauner who is not signing these spending bills. He's the one. Like I've said many times before, I think Rauner wanted this. He wanted this. And I think he's getting a little bit more than he can chew. I don't think he knows how to govern. I believe he's learning. I don't think he knew at first how to govern, because he was trying to run Illinois as if it was a business. And we were all saying, Rauner, this is not a goddamn business. This is not one of your investments. This is the entire state of Illinois. You've got to be a governor. You cannot be a business person. And I think he's finally realizing that. But like I said before, Rauner has opponents to run against him in 2018 if he wants to get reelected. And I can tell Bruce Rauner right now, and he's not going to win. That's why he is campaigning. Bruce Rauner is in campaign mode. Yeah, he's in campaign mode. He's trying to turn all Illinoisans against most Illinoisans, because all of us are not going to listen to the crap. Most Illinoisans against the legislature. So if we are pissed off at the legislature, so what we're going to do, what he wants us to do is to vote all of them out and put his people in. And if we do that, it's going to be a lot worse than it is right now. So Rauner has a plan. He's playing this. Someone said that Rauner, because if Rauner wanted a budget, he can use his line item veto for it. Rauner does not want a budget. He wants this to happen. He doesn't care about the state. He doesn't care about the people. And I try to tell people, do not listen to his pleas or anything, because the guy's lying through his teeth. If he wanted a budget, if he wanted this state up out of the mess that he's put it in, the guy could easily do it. But he doesn't want to, because as I've just got through stating, folks, he wants the people of Illinois to hate their Democratic elected officials so bad, blame them for everything that's going on, that's happening, them all out in November, and vote in his people to replace them, which will be Republicans, and he will get everything done. Folks, do not buy that. That's it. This is a game with Rauner. Rauner is backed by his rich buddies. They are on the phone with him probably every day, in the back room with him every day, telling him to stand strong on his stance for his turnaround agenda, which basically is busting unions apart in the state of Illinois because unions have too much power and unions are backing his nemesis, Michael Madigan. Rauner wants the power that Mike Madigan has. He wants the power that unions has, and they are not about to give it up, even at the sacrifice of the state of Illinois. That's how this is going, folks. And it's terrible. It's terrible. Okay, Illinois, like I said, legislatures are urging to pass a budget, but these guys are not going to budge because they don't like each other, obviously. It's obvious. Michael Madigan and Bruce Rauner, they do not like each other in the state of Illinois. Wherever you are, folks, you might be having your own problems with your own legislators, with your own government, with your own governor, because there's so many Republican governors around the state who have screwed up their states. And Black people, African-American people, and Hispanic people, and white people, you have to understand that you cannot not vote. When you do not vote, that's a vote for a Republican. And the reason why we have a lot of these asshole Republicans, governors in office, because you didn't vote. Nobody voted. And a lot of these Republican governors get in office and they'll say things like, well, the people voted me in. Well, the people, they voted. Well, the people, they spoke. Nobody voted you in. You bought the office. Nobody voted you in because no one voted or no one cared to vote. And a lot of times, a lot of the reasons why people actually do not care to vote is because they know politicians are nothing but a bunch of liars. They feel that their situation will not change no matter who's in office. But I'm going to tell you this. It will change. Your situation will change dramatically. You must vote if you don't want. You have to vote for the person or people or politicians or candidates who are going to represent your own interest. I know that's rough, folks, because sometimes I, you know, have a hard time understanding what I just said, but it's true. You got to vote for the people, but that's not saying that the person that you vote for will not get in there and turn their backs on you and start voting for the opposition. That happens. That happened with Ken Duncan. Even, you know, if you listen to my show, you'll know who Ken Duncan was. He was a turncoat Democrat. He voted with Republican. He voted with Republican Bruce Rauner, and now he done lost his job. He was a lapdog for Bruce Rauner. Bruce Rauner, you know, bankrolled him. And he lost. And Bruce Rauner lost. Bruce Rauner ran some guy against Michael Madigan. And Michael Madigan just landslided his ass. See, in both of these cases, in both of these occasions and others, Bruce Rauner lost. But the more Bruce Rauner loses, the more he gets pissed off and the more he tries to hurt the state, saying, acting as if it was nothing at all, but it was a totally big deal because the legislature did not have overriding powers because of Ken Duncan. And a lot of people in Illinois was pissed off at that. So Ken Duncan is gone. Let's put it this way. He'll be gone by November. Yeah, he'll be gone by November. So that's Rauner's. That's one of the Rauner's criteria to do for this November. And in some cases, we may not have a vote. We may not have a budget until November 2016, because a lot of legislatures are saying that because they're not acting, they're not in session. I guess they're at home biding their time, watching television or something, when they should be at work trying to form a budget compromise, but they're not. And if it's a budget that Bruce Rauner doesn't like, he's not going to sign it. That's been going on ever since he's been in office, not signing a budget. He gives excuses. Well, it's $7 million out of budget, out of balance. I believe that's what he's saying. So, yeah, $70 million out of balance. You know, and also Michael Madigan and the General Assembly are saying that when Rauner submits them a budget, it's even more out of balance than the budget that they submit to him. So this is all this back and forth is getting us nowhere in the state of Illinois while people are suffering, people are dying, people are being upended, people are becoming unemployed every day because of these assholes can't get their act together. But there's no doubt about it, folks. This is Bruce Rauner's mess. He is the governor, and all of this falls on him, but he's crisscrossing the state, blaming everybody up here in Chicago, blaming public schools, blaming unions. And he's never ran a government office, never in his life. But he thinks he's smart enough to do so. Apparently not, because the state is going down the damn hill quickly and fast. And these guys, they just don't seem to have a clue. Actually, Michael Madigan and John Cullerton, I believe, dislike Rauner so much that they don't even want to work with the guy. They don't even want to work with him. They dislike him so much. Because if they had the votes, they would override everything that he has tried to do or is doing, and we would have a budget. But they don't seem to have the votes because I believe they need Republican votes and a few of the Democrats, they're going to turn around and vote with Rauner, so there's no votes. But I want to say come November, I'm hoping that more Democrats are voted into the Illinois House so that, you know, if Rauner started any mess, we can override him, you know. But if there's more Republicans voted in, the state is just going to sink further into the hole because Rauner is going to do everything he can to up in the state of Illinois and then point the finger at someone else. Because that's all this guy's been doing, pointing the finger at someone else when he's the one that is not signing a budget. $7 million out of budget, out of balance, I don't think is all that detrimental when it comes to children, public schools, colleges, universities, charities, daycare centers, 911 centers, fingerprinting, and background checks. I don't think $7 million is that crucial. If it's true at all, I don't know their numbers. You never know when somebody might be making up numbers or just cooking the books. Who knows? But $7 million out of budget is not that, for a state like Illinois, is not that damn detrimental. It's not that crucial. Bruce Rauner, we need a budget in the state of Illinois. Thank you, sir.
The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. I've said it once, I've said it many times on the floor. Once again, total power in one person's hands, not the American way. These damn bills that come out here all the damn time, come out here in the last second, and I gotta try to figure out how to vote for my people. How ashamed of are you? Should be. You should be ashamed of yourselves. I'm sick of it. Every year, we give power to one person. It was not made that way in the Constitution. He was around when it was written. Now we pass rules that stop each one of us. Enough! I feel like somebody trying to be released from Egypt. Let my people go! My God, they said...
Hey everybody, Pastor Steven Anderson here from Faith Forward Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona. And I just wanted to record a quick video about the news this morning about the shooting in Orlando. I guess a Muslim terrorist went into a gay bar and shot him up, and there's 50 sodomites, homosexuals that have been killed, and another 50-some-odd injured, and then the Muslim guy himself was shot by the police, it sounds like. And here's the good news and the bad news about this. You know, the good news is that there's 50 less pedophiles in this world because, you know, these homosexuals are a bunch of disgusting perverts and pedophiles. That's who was a victim here, are a bunch of just disgusting homosexuals at a gay bar, okay? But the bad news is that this is now going to be used, I'm sure, to push for gun control where, you know, law-abiding normal Americans are not going to be allowed to have guns for self-defense. And then I'm sure it's also going to be used to push an agenda against so-called hate speech. So Bible-believing Christian preachers who preach what the Bible actually says about homosexuality, that it's vile, that it's disgusting, that they're reprobates, you know, we're going to be blamed. Like, oh, it's all extremism. It's not just the Muslims, it's the Christians. I'm sure that that's coming. I'm sure that people are going to start attacking, you know, Bible-believing Christians now because of what this guy did. Now, let me just be real clear. I've never advocated for violence. I don't believe in, you know, taking the law into our own hands. I would never go in and you know, shoot up a gay bar, so-called. I don't believe it's right for us to just be a vigilante. We're supposed to obey the law of the land and obey the powers that be. So I would never take things into my own hands or become a vigilante. But I will say this, you know, the Bible says that homosexuals should be put to death in Leviticus 20:13. Obviously, it's not right for somebody to just, you know, shoot up the place because that's not going through the proper channels. But these people all should have been killed anyway, but they should have been killed through the proper channels, as in they should have been executed by a righteous government that would have, you know, tried them, convicted them, and saw them executed. Because in Leviticus 20:13, God's perfect law, he put the death penalty on murder, and he also put the death penalty on homosexuality. That's what the Bible says, plain and simple. And you know, the good news is that at least 50 of these pedophiles are not going to be harming children anymore. The bad news is that a lot of the homos in the bar are still alive, so they're going to continue to molest children and recruit people into their filthy homosexual lifestyle. And then the other bad news is that this is going to now be used as propaganda, not only against Muslims, but also against Christians. And of course, Islam is a wicked religion. Of course, it's a disgusting religion. Of course, the Quran is false. But the media makes a big deal out of stuff like this. And it's just, it's perfect. I mean, the devil loves this incident because it's perfect for him. Because now he can push his agenda of, oh, we need to love homos and stop being hateful because look at these acts of violence that are provoked. Even though I've never heard any Bible-believing Christian preacher say that we should take things into our own hands and execute the wicked. You know, all I preach and all that any other, you know, Bible preacher have ever said about it is that it should be against the law to be a homosexual, which it was against the law until 2003 in the U.S., and that, you know, Leviticus 20:13 is still God's word. So, anyway, those are my thoughts on this attack. I'm not sad about it. I'm not going to cry about it. Because these people were going to die, these 50 people in the gay bar that got shut up, they were going to die of AIDS and syphilis and whatever else. They were all going to die early anyway, because homosexuals have a 20-year shorter lifespan than normal people anyway. And, you know, at least these dangerous predators, these dangerous, filthy pedophiles at this gay bar, at least they're off the streets, you know. So I'm just trying to look on the bright side, you know. But again, you know, I don't condone vigilantism. So anyway, I just wanted to give you my thoughts, and God bless you. Have a great day.
All right, that's a hate tape. That's a hate clip from a preacher, and I do not like it. I do not condone it, but I think it's interesting to let people know that the hate is still here. It will always be here. And like I said before, I think gays have a target on their backs because this is just probably the beginning. And I've told people several times that we don't have to close the borders or shut the borders down or check the airports or for terrorists. to enter the U.S. because the terrorists are already here in the U.S. That's why I know there will be more attacks. And I've said this in 4, 5, 6, 7 months ago about terrorists, that they're already here. They're already here. And I do believe we do need to fix our borders. I don't know why Obama hasn't done that yet, you know, but Trump, no. No Trump, please. I don't even want to talk about that guy today, but I probably will say a little something. But, you know, he's getting too much free media coverage already, Trump. But his poll numbers are sinking, you know. Hillary is rising. Her poll numbers are rising. Donald Trump's poll numbers are sinking. And that's a good thing because we don't want this guy. This guy, I mean, there will be riots all over the city, all over the, you know, all over America for that instance. There will be riots everywhere. I mean, this guy will start war with every other country. I mean, no way. Because, you know, world leaders are always, world leaders are already dissing Donald Trump. And that's the truth, folks. World leaders are saying they don't want nothing to do with Donald Trump. If he becomes president, folks, we will be locked into probably 4 or 5 world wars. No doubt about it, there will be World War III, World War IV, World War V with Donald Trump. They'll be coming over here bombing. You talk about Pearl Harbor, they're going to be bombing the entire United States because of this guy. You know, I'm not trying to scare anybody, but I'm just saying, anything's possible with Donald Trump, and that's one person we don't need, you know. But I'm going to say this again. I think a few months ago I said that while they were debating, the Republicans were debating, I said Donald Trump is not as scary as Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz was scarier, and I still stand by that, even though Donald Trump is – I guess the reason why I said that because Donald Trump once called himself a Democrat. And in some cases, he still values democratic ideas. Ted Cruz was just this guy was a far-right nut. A nut, and a liar. Donald Trump is a liar. This guy lies. Hillary, you know, we just got some horrible choices, I think, for president of the United States for 2017. But of all the evils, I think Hillary Clinton comes out on top because Donald Trump just keeps on digging a hole for himself that he can't get out of. But he tries, but he can't. So, you know, I'm going to reiterate this again, folks. Vote. Be enthusiastic about voting because I'm hearing that the Republicans are less enthusiastic about voting than Democrats. That's true. Then that is a good thing. That is a good thing. That means the Democrats are going to take the White House in 2016. You know, so I'm thinking that's true because most Republicans, they don't want or like or trust Donald Trump. Simple as that. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. And I want to say again that a lot of people are opening their hearts, their purses, their homes to a lot of the victims. Some of the people who are still alive and the families of the victims, some of those who were killed, a lot of people around the world opening their doors to a lot of these folks, and that's a great thing. That's one of the things about America. We come to other people's aid. We don't need politicians to tell us to go out and do something good for somebody. We don't need politicians to tell us to go out and do something great for somebody. We do it because that's what's in our heart. We do it because that's what America is all about. We help each other. We help each other, especially when they are in a very, very time of need. We help each other. And that's a great thing. And everybody's reaching out and helping the people of Orlando, Florida, in any way they can. In any way that they can, sharing their homes, sharing their finances, sharing their love, giving of their time and effort to help others in need. And that is what America is all about, is what this show is all about, folks, making the world a better place. If you have something that you know can make the world a better place, you are welcome on this show. I mean, there's a lot of radio shows, baby, but you are welcome on this show. This is one of the best. This show is one of the best shows out there. You know, I'm not saying that because I am the host or I am everything else, like the talk show host and everything else, the producer, director, the writer. I do it all. I mean, why pay someone else to do it when you can do it yourself, right? And it's one of the best. I mean, I'm not saying it because I'm the host of the show. I'm saying that I'm saying it because the people who have been on the show, the people who have listened to the show, have said that to me, have made that statement to me. So I have to take it at heart. I have to take everything at heart because that's what keeps me booking shows. That's what keep me producing shows and getting needed information out over the air, all around the world, folks. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. It's 7:01 straight up Chicago time. I believe it's around 60, 65, 69 degrees over here near the lake in Chicago. It's been great. It's been great. Oh, yeah, I wanted to say something about John McCain. Okay, John McCain, like Senator John McCain, I think he's Senator of Arizona or something. Okay, John McCain says Obama is directly responsible for the Orlando massacre. He says directly responsible is another lying. Don't get me wrong, folks. I am not an Obama fan. From my understanding, from my opinion, Obama has a lot of flaws, but he is not directly responsible for the Orlando massacre, the killings. He is not. But that's what Republicans all over are saying, that he's responsible. But you just don't realize the hate that some of these people have for Obama. The hate that they have for this man. And it's not only because he's African-American or part black. It's because that he's a nice guy. And, you know, basically Obama is a nice person. He's a very nice, gentle guy. But, you know. And they kick him because of that, I believe, because he's nice. You ever heard that slogan or that old saying that nice guys finish last? Obama is a nice guy. He tries to get along with everybody, even though I think he's lacking in doing things for African-Americans, as a lot of black leaders, prominent black leaders also think. But for McCain to say that Obama is directly responsible for the Orlando massacre is totally disingenuous, as if Obama himself took a AK-47 and walked into the damn nightclub and just shot up these people. This is crazy. It's the president. Okay, I'm quoting John McCain here. He's saying it's the president's fault because he ended the war in Iraq too soon. John McCain said. Now, John McCain does not know that. These are his opinions. This is his assumption. He does not know that ISIS is the creation of Obama. Some people say it's the creation of George Bush. You know, but my thinking is ISIS has always been there. ISIS used to be called Al-Qaeda. You know, even before ISIS and Al-Qaeda, there were still terrorist attacks in the United States. So his argument that Obama is directly responsible for the Orlando massacre shootings, it's crazy. It's crazy. So we're going to see. Yeah, John McCain, if you think about it, John McCain ran for president in 2008 with Sarah Palin. John McCain brought us Sarah Palin. Now, why would we – I'm sorry for mentioning her name on the show because I don't want to give her any kind of publicity. She just might wind up being Donald Trump's running mate. All right, here we go. President Barack Obama is directly responsible for Orlando's massacre, says Senator John McCain of Arizona. That's crazy. McCain, one of the Senate's most hawkish members and long – and a long, vigorous advocate for military intervention in the Middle East, said Obama was at fault because he pulled troops out of Iraq too soon and failed to respond more vigorously to the rise of so-called Islamic State, according to the Associated Press. This is according to the Associated Press and numerous reporters who were listening. This is a quote from John McCain. Obama is directly responsible for it because when he pulled everybody out of Iraq, Al-Qaeda went to Syria, became ISIS, and ISIS is what it is today thanks to Obama's failures. No, McCain, I don't think so. Obama is not a great president. I have my problems with Obama, but I have to disagree with this. I think this is something. This sounds, actually, to me, he sounds like Donald Trump. This is something Donald Trump would say or has said. And this is what I'm saying, that this is not true. This is not true. I don't think he's directly responsible for ISIS. I really, truly don't. And I think ISIS was going to be ISIS regardless of whether Obama pulled them out too soon. And I don't think Obama pulled them out too soon. A lot of us feel that Obama pulled them out a lot later than he should have, you know, because when he was running for president in 2008, he kept saying on his campaign stop that he was going to end the war in Iraq. He was going to end the war in Afghanistan. And we were all waiting, like we thought he was going to do this as soon as he got into office. But as soon as Obama got into office during his first term, basically the only thing he did was just chase Republicans, trying to get the Republicans to like him. And as we know, Republicans did not like him and kicked him in the face, and the rest is history. And a lot of people are saying Obama has actually done nothing in his fourth term. He's done a lot in his first term, but his second term, I'm sorry, his second term, he's done exactly nothing. Okay, because in his first term, he brought America back from the brink of an actual recession. You know, the banks and the foreclosures, and you know the drill. Okay, well, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. We got about 22 more minutes into the show, folks, and it's been great. It's been great. I just love doing this show. And I'm still looking at this post on the computer saying McCain says Obama is directly responsible for the Orlando killings, the massacre. This has got to be crazy, you know.
It's just been 24 hours since the deadliest mass shooting in American history. And this morning, we know a lot more about the gunman, but little about his motive. 50 people dead, another 53 wounded after the authorities say 29-year-old Omar Mateen opened fire inside the Pulse nightclub in Orlando. FBI agents have descended on Mateen's home about 120 miles away in Fort Pierce, Florida, looking for anything that may explain why he carried out this attack. Sources tell NBC News' Pete Williams that before opening fire, Mateen called 911, pledged allegiance to ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, and mentioned the 2013 Boston Marathon bombing. According to authorities, gunfire erupted inside the club just after 2 in the morning. A hostage situation unfolded, and by 5 a.m., police decide to go in, driving an armored vehicle through a wall. A gunfight then broke out between police and Mateen. Some of the audio of that exchange you can hear in this clip. During the gunfire, one bullet hit an officer, his Kevlar helmet likely saving his life. Mateen was killed in the exchange, and police say 30 people were rescued from the club. According to the ATF, Mateen bought the two guns used in the shooting just within the past week or so, a handgun and an AR-15 style rifle like you see here. Investigators say both firearms were purchased legally. Mateen's father posted a video to Facebook last night saying he is shocked and saddened by what his son has done. And here's what he tells NBC News this morning.
Was your son radicalized in any way that you know of?
No. No, he was taking care of his family, going to work. He doesn't have even a beard. He didn't miss his work. He was always on time. So I didn't see anything different that the way that he was behaving himself before, and until yesterday he was the same.
So where did he get these crazy ideas?
That's what I said. I wish he was alive. I could ask him that question. One question. Why did he do it?
Now, obviously, Mika, that's what people across America are asking. Here's some of the headlines today. The Boston Globe talking about the massacre in Orlando. The Washington Post leads with the headline, 50 killed at a gay nightclub. The Wall Street Journal talks of a night of terror in Orlando. And the New York Times talks about a gunman praising ISIS. And you have, right next to me, let's move over here, you have the USA Today massacre, and then the Daily News talking about the NRA, and obviously, Willie, a lot of issues, of course, came spewing out immediately after this from all sides ideologically. It's just as sick as usual. Give it a day. Mm-hmm. Let's mourn the victims and try to figure out what's going on.
Anymore.
But a lot of fingers pointing, but of course what everybody wants to know most of all is why did this happen and how do we stop it from happening again?
Yeah, I was on the air yesterday all day and it was almost immediate when people running to their battle stations, as you point out. You know, it became immediately, before anyone knew any facts, it was about this or it was about that, and here's why he did it. Mm-hmm. We don't know why he did it yet, except now that we've heard some of his claims. We know what he said about ISIS in that 911 phone call. Graham, you can speak to this better than I can. We're in an age now where you don't have to have any direct tie with ISIS. You can be inspired by ISIS. You can have a laptop or an iPhone and read something and feel some connection to ISIS, and then ISIS can retroactively claim that he was an ISIS fighter. So that's his claim, is that he did it in the name of ISIS and of radical Islam.
Yeah, I would even go a bit further. ISIS, in many ways, doesn't even want him to have a connection before the fact. They've said, at this point, you should just attack in place, where you are, when you can. And if you seek our approval in advance, then you're just exposing yourself to being foiled, your plot never coming to fruition. So they've told their supporters, just do it. Do it now. Don't bother coming here anymore. Mm.
All right, let's bring in NBC's Chris Jansing. She's in Orlando, Florida, with more on the investigation into the gunman. Chris, what more do we know about him?
You know, it's remarkable how quickly this profile of Omar Mateen emerged, that he was someone who was filled with hate, who was violent. Mateen's father told NBC News his son became enraged recently after he saw a same-sex couple kissing in Miami in front of his family. The FBI says it first became aware of the 29-year-old back in 2013. Now, he made threats to co-workers, including what an agency spokesman called, and I'm quoting here, possible ties to terrorist activities. And then the FBI looked at him again the following year because he contacted Abu Salah, an American who traveled to Syria to become a suicide bomber for al-Nusra. Abu Salah, who also lived in Fort Pierce, was the first American to carry out a suicide attack in Syria. U.S. officials say he tried to recruit some of his friends to fight in Syria, and then when he got back to his hometown back in 2013. One of them actually did alert the FBI, but by then, Abu Salah had already left the U.S. Now, at the time, the FBI decided that Mateen's contact with Abu Salah was minimal. They didn't feel it posed any kind of a real threat. Law enforcement officials have told NBC News there's no indication Mateen was in touch with terrorists overseas or that the attack was directed by someone else, to the point of what you guys were talking about. So meanwhile, we're also hearing from Mateen's ex-wife. She talked to the press yesterday and she described her former husband as unsound, claiming he was physically abusive and had in the past taken steroids, and that she actually left all of her belongings behind to escape their life together.
Instability, emotional instability, sickness, mentally, he was mentally unstable and mentally ill. That's the only explanation that I could give, and he was obviously disturbed. When he would get in his tempers, he would express hate towards things, toward everything. So in that respect, you know, yeah. But it was at the moment when you would see his emotional instability and turning totally different.
And meantime, we have these portraits of the victims emerging from 20 to 50 years old. And I think one of the most heartrending stories of the text messages that went back and forth between a son who was trapped in a bathroom and his mother. And then he went radio silent. And sadly, we learned this morning that son, Eddie Justice, was among the victims. Willie?
Oh, that was one of the earliest stories we saw and one of the earliest sound bites we have that will be seared in my memory forever. The Eddie's mother screaming, looking for her son. Mm-hmm. Chris Janting in Orlando. We'll be checking back with you throughout the morning. Thanks.
Hey there, I'm Chris Hayes from MSNBC. Thanks for watching MSNBC on YouTube. If you want to keep up to date with the videos we're putting out, you can click subscribe just below me or click over on this list to see...
Listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Black Talk Radio.
Yeah, Donald Trump, welcome back to the show, folks. Thanks for sticking with me. Thanks for sticking with me and hanging around. All right, Donald Trump is so toxic that even members of his own party would rather vote for Hillary. And that's the truth, folks. A lot of these Republicans, they can't stand Donald Trump. He is such a, not just toxic, he's obnoxious. He is. I mean, and it seemed like it's just getting worse with him. He's not getting better. He even got worse with his I don't know if you can call it rhetoric, just plain stupidity. The talk that he's just talking about banning Muslims, banning Hispanics. I guess he wants to ban African Americans too, if he probably wants to do that also. He's just not saying it. Sorry for stuttering, but I just got through drinking coffee. And somehow it went down the wrong way. Yeah, and some of the photographs of Donald Trump, he's looking like he's Hitler or something. But I do know one thing, folks. We got to get out here and vote in November, or we will end up with a Donald Trump. You never know, because there's so many people out here who are haters. And the majority of his supporters, there's no doubt about it, They're haters. And the majority of his supporters do not like gay people. I mean, and African Americans. If you've seen all those videos of violence against African Americans, those of color, at some of his rallies, you know, so he's toxic. He is very toxic. And a lot of people, that's why there's so much low enthusiasm for this coming up November 2016 election, because people, they don't want to vote for Hillary. They don't want to vote for Trump, but they rather go for Hillary over Trump, because Trump is just ridiculous. He's just ridiculous. He is, but I don't think he thinks so. And the thing about it, folks, Donald Trump just turned 70 years old. I didn't know he was that old. Okay, I thought he was maybe, you know, early 60s or something, or late 50s, but he is 70. And you wonder why someone 70 years old is such a racist and a hater and a liar. You know, you wonder how this could happen. You would think he would be mild, meek, and, you know. But, you know, you got a lot of Republicans in the legislature who are just like Donald Trump. A lot of them are denying Donald Trump, putting him back, but they're still supporting him. And that's something I never understood. If you don't like his policies, if he has any policies, I don't think Donald Trump actually know what a policy is. Because a lot of world leaders are calling him unknowledgeable. Some people are going as far as saying Donald Trump is just dumb. And So, and Donald Trump is listening. He's hearing all of this because he's always tweeting. I mean, one of the things about Donald Trump is that he fights back. You say something nasty about Donald Trump, you say something he doesn't like, even if it doesn't have to be nasty, it could be something he doesn't like, and it could be true. He'll come back at you, boy, with a vengeance. He'll get at one of his rallies and just you know, attack you like I don't know what. Then he'll go on the internet and tweet about it, and you know, he's a fighter. He has to fight back, and I do believe that he has, like Hillary says, I do believe that Donald Trump has thin skin. He will, the minute you piss him off at something he doesn't like, wow, World War III. And he should not be nowhere near a nuclear code. Nowhere near it. You know, because he would get so pissed off, bing, the world has been destroyed. The world has been destroyed under this guy. You know, and he will try to use his rhetoric and his stupidity to justify that. So we have to watch ourselves. We have to get out here and vote. We have to get out here and vote. And I want to thank one of my guests on my show. I think it was 2 weeks ago. Was it a week ago? Anyway, he said he wanted to thank me for what I do. And I'm still trying to find out what that is. I mean, I've had people call the show and inbox me, email me, thank me for what I do. And I accept it. I accept it. And I just wished I could do more. I wished I could do more of it. And maybe in the coming days, months, years, maybe I can do more. I'm going to hang around here and try to do more, because this show is about making the world a better place. And it's also the talk about times. When I say the talk about times, it means that if you miss a show here, you miss a lot, because I try to put everything I can into a show. If I don't put it into to this show, I will put it in the show for next time. All right. It's 7:22 p.m. Chicago time, Central Standard Time. It's 64 degrees near the lake. And it's the day in Chicago, I hope it's great where you are, but in Chicago, it's gray, it's dull, but it's not the type of weather where you feel gray and dull. This is the type of weather you say, wow, it's great, it's beautiful out there. It's wonderful. It's not raining, it's not storming, it's not lightning and thundering, so you have to be thankful for that, especially in the city of Chicago. And I'm going to say this again, if where you are and it's great, the wind is slightly blowing here. If where you are, anywhere in the world, you know, if you're having great weather, get out there and enjoy it. Just enjoy it. Even if you're just taking a walk around the corner for 15, 20 minutes, an hour, just enjoy it. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And that way you get some needed exercise. You get up off the couch, you know, turn off the television, turn off the VCR. Does anybody have a VCR anymore? Turn off the Blu-ray, you know, the video games or whatever, Xbox One, Xbox 360, whatever you might have, you know, and just get out here and just enjoy the weather. You know, turn off the television. Just get out here and just enjoy the weather. Enjoy your friends, your family. I mean, enjoy all of this, you know, and let the electronics go for a while. Even put down your phone, you know, and get out here and enjoy the weather and enjoy everybody else. And when you're out here, make sure you smile. Don't be looking mean and nasty and, you know, like you got an attitude. Enjoy yourself and smile. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Be right back, folks. Okay, we got that? Is it coming? Okay.
open eyes that we may see tomorrow. See, Lord, grant us
Someone just said 90 seconds in my ear. Oh, we got about 2 more minutes left into the show, folks. I'm going to be off for the next 3 days, which is my off days, so I can get some writing done and get some things done around the house. And, you know, I do have a family besides the show and besides everything else that I do. I'm on Monday through Thursday from 7. I'm on Monday through, let me get this right. Monday through Thursday, 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. Someone just whispered in my ear, can you be quiet while I'm trying to say this? I'm on 6 p.m. to 7:30, 8 o'clock p.m., Monday through Friday. So it's on the website, folks, so there's no way you can get confused about that. So we're just about off the air, folks. Thanks for being with me. I hope you join me on Monday. We should have a whole slew of guests for that week. All right, let's see if we can... Thank you for joining me, folks. I hope to see you Monday, starting at 6 p.m. on the Black Talk Radio Show, George Wilder Jr. Bye-bye.